Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of November 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce of the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility should be here to take up the cash grain market in his area of northern Iowa. And we'll discuss the weather forecast today with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. Along the way, I'll invite you to buy a ticket to our Farm Assets Conference. It's just $25, just about a week away. That's on Monday, not next week, but the following Monday, November the 24th in Normal, Illinois, on the ISU campus at the Marriott Hotel. Should be a fantastic day. All of the details on our website at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Friday afternoon, futures in the corn pit for the December contract were down 4.25 cents at $3.81 3/4. March futures at $3.94 1/4, down 4.5, and the May corn at $4.02 3/4, 4.5 lower. July futures down 4.5 at $4.09 3/4, and December of next year at $4.24, a nickel lower on the day. From the soy complex, nearby bean futures at $10.21 29.5 cents lower in the November. January at 10.22 1/2, down 31, and the March at 10.30 1/4, down 29.5. May futures for the day at 10.36 3/4, down 27 3/4. November beans of next year at 10.14 1/2, 20 3/4 cents lower. Bean meal futures finished $13.60 lower. The bean oil 13 cents higher. Chicago wheat finished the soft red at $5.60 1/2, up 6 3/4 for the December. July at 575 1/2, 7 cents higher, and the Kansas City wheat at 605 1/2 finished a quarter of a cent higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures for the day nearby December at $170.35, up 70 cents. February at 171.50, 47 1/2 cents higher. Feeder cattle at 240 7 1/2 cents, up 72 1/2. January at 236 22 1/2, up $2 for the day. Lean hogs finished at $92.95, $1.67 1/2 higher. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil for the day at $76, $1.79 higher on the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.42, 5 7/10 cents higher. And the wholesale price of gasoline or the RBOB at $2.04 6/10 cents, 4 1/2 cents higher. Natural gas for the day at $4.04 1/2, 6 8/10 cents higher. And ethanol futures finished the afternoon, currently trading actually at January contract, $1.83. That's down 6/10 cents. December contract settlement price at $2.02. That's up 3 8/10 cents. From the outside markets, we show the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,583, just about 13 points lower. The New York Gold at $1,189, about $27.50 higher. And the U.S. dollar down 0.157 at 87.595. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area today says we'll see sunny skies, a high of 29 degrees. Tonight, a clear, rather partly cloudy evening and a low of 15 degrees. Saturday, a 30% chance of snowfall, that after 3 in the afternoon. Increasing clouds during the day, a high of 32, and then tomorrow night, snow before midnight, a low of 24. Chance of snow, 80%, new snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches. Snow will continuous flurries on Sunday when we'll have a 34-degree high, and Sunday night a low of 18 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, you're listening, of course, to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Let's talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Has it gotten warmer throughout the day? The day there yet? It was 8 degrees when we talked this morning.
Yeah, 8 degrees when I woke up today, Todd, and it looked like we're going to get up into the upper 20s, and then there's going to be some snow coming in. Probably what you'll see, and you just reported on, we'll get about 6 hours before. So we're looking at 2 to 4 inches of snow, and a lot of that will probably get into the hard red wheat country. So it does look like the snow pack is going to start to build in a very timely fashion given these cold temperatures. I was impressed that the wheat was able to hold up, especially the hard red wheat going into to this afternoon's close. The soft red wheat is going to be up almost 50 cents on the week.
Well, that's actually a pretty good jump. You are a follower of the wheat market. It is the grain of choice across the planet for the most part, and I think that's in large part because it goes into so many biscuits and cookies and breads and such. Is this good news for the corn market?
It is. I think, you know, the other side of that is it's also so important because it can be such a competitor with the corn on a feed basis. And you're right. When you talk about the global grain demand, wheat's a very good barometer. I mean, obviously China is such a big user of the soybeans that they pretty much have the market as far as captivated on the demand side. But when it comes to wheat and corn, wheat really is important. But yeah, the harvest, you know, the December wheat, I should say, going into the report was around 517. We closed around 560.5. And so we made most of this week's gains after the report. And one of the best things about the report was USDA not only taking the U.S. carryover down and putting us pretty close to last year at this time, as we talked about this morning, but also the fact that they noted that the quality was going to be better than expected, and they've said that a couple months in a row. So I think that really helped along with some of this weather play.
It was really close in the December contract to posting an outside up week, but its low wasn't quite low enough for that. Still really good in terms of how it maintained itself throughout the week this week.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, I think, to continue higher next week, because if we were putting some weather premium in and the weekly export inspections don't show favorable numbers, then we may see the trade want to pull some of that weather premium out and take some profit. But it's interesting because, you know, USDA did not lower demand on the report, and it was nice to see on today's weekly export sales the wheat was actually up 14% on its sales versus a four-week average, while corn and meal and soybeans all slipped versus their four-week averages. And so the wheat probably can hold a good portion of this rally as long as its demand keeps going strong. I am nervous about the beans, especially the closing beans today, the Informa numbers hurting the corn or hurting the bean-corn ratio and opening up the downside, I think, in the bean complex. If beans give way more next week, it could be tough for corn and wheat in terms of a spillover effect.
What do you see in the corn market that interests you technically? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing today was the 100-day moving average of 364.5. We cleared that very easily. Then we get up to the October 30th high of 381, and we cleared that by 0.75 cents. That's a big number, in my opinion, because that kind of is the watershed moment where the trade was starting to get really eager about the potential for a smaller supply, and then the bottom kind of fell out from underneath us, and we slid going into this November report. And so now we're back above those levels, having the report in the rearview mirror. And so I think that says a lot in terms of the trade psychology. As I said, the Informa new crop corn and bean acreage numbers came out. Corn acres down 2.6 million, bean acres up 4.1 million to 88.3 million. So essentially they're saying the corn acres and the bean acres for 2015 are going to be both 88.3 million. And I think that really fed the corn-bean ratio. We went from about 2.47 on new crop down to 2.39 today's close. That's down 3% on the week, and it's the lowest on that ratio since May. So I think the trade, you know, after the report came out, it looked like the corn would gain on the beans, but then we had that meal issue to contend with. So meal's still a fighter. It didn't take out any key weekly support levels, but corn, it seems to me the corn closed along with the wheat probably the best technically that you could ask for. And fundamentally, we did get that bull fed by having that yield reduced.
Given all of that, did I recall you saying to me this morning that you looked forward into 2015 and were thinking that there might be some opportunities to make some soybean sales?
Yes, and I think we're right on the verge of that. I mean, if you take out the 375 level in the meal, you pretty much damage pretty significantly the weekly chart, Todd, and I think this would make fundamental sense because Brazil is starting to heal up in its weather, and you started to hear this week where Argentine meal was going to be brought into this country. You're starting to see the effects of the demand rationing of this price rally. And we saw some effects a week ago when the rail market opened up here in the middle of the country. And so you are fixing the problem, it looks like to me, by the price going up. And now we could go back the other way and say, okay, we've done that. How much did these people double book as far as processors, and how many orders are they going to cancel, and what types of cancellations do we have to look forward to, or slower sales paces do we have to look forward to in the exports as well? So I am more concerned about the beans than I am corn, and that kind of complements what has already happened in Brazil. Mato Grosso, a private consultancy agency, said this week that they may be looking at as much as 15% less corn acres in their main corn ground in Mato Grosso. So the weather, you know, clearly hurting corn as much, if not more, than the beans, and probably on a more permanent basis.
Does the price of crude oil not concern you much as it relates to ethanol?
No, it really doesn't right now, because you actually are beating that blend wall by the lower gas prices. We should start to see a pretty strong holiday surge in unleaded demand. If we didn't see that at the, you know, we're 280 out here at the pump in Kansas. You drive across the river and it's 15 to 20 cents a gallon less, you know, if you drive a quarter of a mile across the river because of Missouri. I wouldn't see a demand increase in unleaded during the holidays here this next 4 weeks, Todd. That would start to encourage me to get more nervous about the ethanol demand going down the pike. But right now, I think we've got a really nice demand base building because we are going to the holidays with these cheaper prices.
Yeah, so cheaper prices, more people traveling by vehicle, more gas used. The blend wall goes up. Well, the blend wall doesn't go up. The 10% blend wall stays there. It's just the amount of ethanol that can be blended in would be increased because of the increased amount of gasoline, right?
Yeah, and I guess the thing that bothered me the most this week about corn, when you talk about demand, it would be the USDA made a pretty strong statement again that the global demand is going down. In fact, I went back and looked. Global corn imports by the major importers that they recognize on their sheet has been cut about 125 million bushels since September, and that puts us down on global importers' demand by about 17% versus last year, and we're talking about a Gulf price of corn roughly 80 cents less than a year ago when we came into the report this week. So that does trouble me, that especially with good quality wheat, I'd really like to, and I'm going to have to do some more research and figure out what exactly is the problem, because China's buying Ukrainian corn. It's not like the demand is not there. Mexico's been a very strong buyer this year. So I'm wondering what makes them think that we're going to be almost 20% less in demand by major importers. Other than it's just the sheer fact that global consumption is lower because we haven't stimulated the global economy with this, with all the QE.
Now, see what you can plumb out of USDA for us, and we'll discuss it with you again next week.
That sounds good. Stay cool.
Oh, that's going to be easy. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal, Illinois, November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at 800-898-1065 or willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Standard Grain, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, and Strategic Farm Marketing.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A year from now, the United States Department of Agriculture expects there will be about 2 billion bushels of corn and about 450 million bushels of soybeans left over from this year's supply. These numbers are called ending stocks, or the carryout. Again, it's 2 billion for corn and 450 million for soybeans. These are much larger than any recent numbers, 2 and 3 times the size respectively, but still manageable, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
The sense is now that we kind of have manageable stocks of corn and soybeans. They're abundant supplies, but not what I would call burdensome when we're in the 12 to 15% stocks to use ratio. That's something that can be worked through fairly quickly if we return to more normal production in 2015 and beyond. And I think a better opportunity for that on corn, just penciling in a trend yield without an acreage shift, if we plant and harvest the same amount of acreage next year that we did this year on corn, we end up with a crop that's smaller than our current rate of consumption. Again, the caveat is trend yields. And so we would see a year when we would start bringing our inventories down, and that to me suggests that we start moving corn prices back in the cash market to the lower to mid $4 range for next year, which the market's not too far from that right now, quite frankly. And so that puts us back into, if not black ink, at least kind of a break-even level for corn producers next year.
Soybeans are a little different story, but when paired with corn as the primary cash crops of the Corn Belt, it's not a bad story.
So we're likely to see another year of pretty big stocks, but with soybeans at $10, that's still kind of in profit territory for a lot of producers. And if we can hold $10 beans into next year and bring corn back to in the low $4, then we're kind of at that profit level for both crops.
It would take, believes Darrell Good, a reduction in acreage to push 2015 soybeans, given a normal South American harvest, much higher than $10 a bushel.
You just don't see the opportunity without a major problem in South America for much further recovery in soybean prices, so it's kind of sideways at best, I think, at this point. Corn, I think, is a little more iffy now that we've had a 60-cent recovery from the harvest lows. That includes a combination of a little stronger basis already and higher futures prices. How much is left in that rally, I think, is the question, and maybe not a whole lot in the near term. We're still struggling with this 2 billion bushel carryover for now. And also, we have to recognize that exports are a little soft at this point. The USDA didn't change their number, but I think you have to be just a little concerned that exports may come up a bit short. I know it's early in the marketing year, and that pace can change, but we're not selling or shipping corn at the rate we need to at this point. So I think that's going to keep a lid on prices for the time being, and I don't see a lot near-term rally potential in old crop corn prices.
The next major USDA reports for row crop production in the United States will come in early January. These will present the final crop production report for the 2014 harvest and the first quarterly tally of grain stocks. If you'd like to read and learn more from Darrell Good, you can do that each and every Monday afternoon on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, work is underway on Capitol Hill to move a tax extenders package through both houses of Congress. If enacted, as is during the lame duck session, it would include an extension of Section 179. Section 179 expensing allows farmers and others to purchase equipment and expense, at the moment $25,000, of the price tag. That's down from $500,000 last year, and one reason a bipartisan group is working to move legislation through both houses of Congress quickly. This group is led on the Senate side by Iowa Republican Charles Grassley, who says the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, is working with House Ways and Means Chair Dave Camp, a Michigan Republican, to move the same package through both chambers. This would avoid conferencing the bill and speed up the process. If successful, the legislation should include returning the Section 179 deduction to $500,000 for business equipment. This includes the purchase of farm machinery, something Michael Schmidt of Central Illinois Ag, a Case IH dealership headquartered in Atlanta, Illinois, recognized was needed for his business when he was making farmer visits back in early October.
We have a lot of inventory. A lot of the other dealers have a lot of inventory. $3 corn and $10 soybeans are not going to cut it today's production levels. Section 179 is going to be desperately needed to come back from the government for the bonus depreciation. Otherwise, I don't really see a whole lot of purchases being made between now and the end of this year.
Lucky for Schmidt, the congressional action is bipartisan. The senior senator from Illinois is a Democrat. Dick Durbin's office confirms he supports the legislation as presented. Iowa's Charles Grassley is hopeful the lame duck session will include passage of the tax extenders bill.
WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal, Illinois, November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at 800-898-1065 or willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Standard Grain, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, and Strategic Farm Marketing.
Well, I think we'll swap things around just a bit today. Now, Ben Pruce is available at the Everly, Iowa facility that belongs to the Andersons, and I'd like to discuss the cash grain market with him just a bit longer than usual. So let's drop in with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey for an update of the weather forecast.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. November continues to be cold and dry. The statewide average temperature for the month so far is 41 degrees. That's 4 degrees below average. The statewide precipitation is 0.5 inches, which is about one-third of the long-term average. Many sites north of Interstate 70 have reported seeing snow, but there's been little accumulation so far. Soil temperatures are still on the warm side, with the 4-inch temperature under grass in the low to mid-30s. According to the National Weather Service forecast, snow could arrive on Saturday and Sunday with 1 to 3 inches possible. Stay tuned to your local forecast as this storm develops. Daytime highs on Saturday and Sunday will be in the upper 20s in far northern Illinois, low to mid-30s in central Illinois, and in the upper 30s and low 40s in southern Illinois. Much colder air will arrive on Monday and Tuesday with highs in the upper teens in northern Illinois and in the 20s elsewhere in the state. Things will start to warm a little by the end of the week with highs back up into the 30s and low 40s. The only precipitation in the forecast is what I mentioned earlier about Saturday and Sunday. The 6 to 10 day forecast that includes next weekend looks like more of the same with colder than average temperatures as well as dry conditions. The forecast for next week shows more cold air on the way and wetter conditions as well. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. When we come back, we'll talk with Ben Pruce of the Andersons out of their Everly, Iowa facility. Stay with us if you can. And always go visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Guacamole Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, Leo Baekeland was born. He was a chemist who invented Bakelite, the first plastic that did not soften when heated. The synthetic plastic was not only used for insulators, but also molded into buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The invention helped usher in the modern plastics industry. In 1889, Nellie Bly began her successful attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter, and she completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. In 1954, an unidentified flying object was reported flying over 2 tractors, one a diesel, the other gas-powered, in Flory, Italy. It was reported that the engine of the diesel tractor continued to operate, but the tractor with the internal combustion engine stopped and could not be restarted until the UFO vanished. In 1958, International Harvester began production of its International T-340 crawler. Based on the I-340 farm tractor, it featured tank-like treads instead of wheels. And in 1960, OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, was created. The original five-nation cartel was founded to unify and coordinate members' petroleum policies. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Friday afternoon. Ben Pruce of the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility is on the phone line. I know you've probably been busy there, Ben, for quite some time. Are you still busy? It's cold there now, I would think.
Yeah, it is very cold. They're calling for 3 to 5 inches of snow, and we are completely done harvesting and have been for about 10 days now.
Well, that's good news.
It's nice to be done.
How big a pile do you have, if you have a corn pile?
We do have a corn pile. We've got about we have 2 locations. It's about 1 million bushels apiece. We surprisingly in our neck of the woods, our yields, just too much moisture in the spring. Our yields were off. Probably 10 to 30 bushels in this neck of the woods.
Off of APH, you mean?
Yes. The real heavy dirt that typically does 220 to 240, it did 180 this year for some people. The light soil, high fertility had its year this year.
And so is that across both the Esterville and the Everly, Iowa facilities? I think those are the 2 facilities you were talking about, right?
But
those are what, 25 miles apart, aren't they? Are they that far apart?
They're actually closer to 50 miles apart.
50 miles apart. So this is not a small area then.
No. This is prime time heavy Iowa dirt kind of location. But unfortunately, we got quite a bit of rain. We had a couple of hail systems go through, and our beans for the guys up north were really off. We had a good bean crop. Corn yields definitely suffered this year.
How much wider than the 50-mile area do you think that the corn yields were off in northern Iowa, southern Minnesota?
We own the Denison ethanol plant, which is about 85 miles straight south of us.
Correct.
And they're fixing to set a new county record.
Okay.
This year.
Yeah.
So we... Very, very much so localized.
You're up on the top end of the beautiful triangle there that raises a lot of corn. What's basis like at this time?
Basis is firm, and corn kind of stayed wet, never really dried down. The end users never really got the huge gut slot of corn that they were looking for. Today, I always seem to reference some Valero plants. Most of them are 10 to 15 under today. We're posted at 40 under the D's at the Anderson.
Good news. If I remember correctly, you've got enough plants locally that you don't bother to rail anything out, so that's not a problem for you. Have you been hearing about rail from problems for anybody else?
Honestly, they're just really, our Group 3 rail bids have just been just kind of soggy. I mean, just getting the trains up here has been, it's just been kind of a process, and from a grain inventory in our neck of the woods, the end users really seem to be just catching it all.
And very quickly, your bids for the day.
Yeah, we are 341 cash corn, 961 cash beans.
Hey, thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks, Todd.
Ben Pruce is with the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility near Spencer. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay with us for Commodity Week if you can.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.